In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. "They have no wine," his mother told him. And what was he supposed to do about it, this young carpenter? Was he supposed to pass the hat and make a run for BevMo? It wasn't his problem. It wasn't his business. It wasn't even his wedding. So Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." If it were his own hour, his own wedding, maybe things would be different. If it were his own wedding, he would surely make that wine to flow so that empty cups would runneth over and empty hearts would be filled with gladness and the richest of wines would be upon the lips and in the mouth of his beloved bride, waiting to be discovered in the bridegroom's kiss. But this was not his hour, not his wedding. "They have no wine," this bride and groom, this Adam and Eve, this man and wife. Before it's even begun, their marriage has run dry. Oh, sure, they have everything else. They have the tuxedos and dresses, the flowers and favors, the pictures and the gifts. And soon enough, they'll have the honeymoon, the furniture, the house with a 2-camel garage, and all the rest. But they have no wine. Not anymore. The wine they once had has now run dry. What are they going to do? Their storybook wedding isn't turning out so storybook. Their perfect marriage isn't turning out to be so perfect. The wine has run dry, and it's just a matter of time before their friends, their family, and everyone else knows it. Mother Mary sees it right away. The empty cups, the quick whispers, the bridegroom off quietly seeking advice, the bride in her seat fighting back tears. Then it happens, the first angry look of their marriage cast between the two. "What are we going to do?" They might not have wine, but they do have water. Everyone has water. They could try to serve water to their guests. The bridegroom and bride could try to quench the other's thirst with plain old water. But when you've had a healthy taste of wine, drinking water just means one thing: the party's over. And when wine has gladdened the heart and blushed the cheeks, well, even the best-intentioned water is just a buzzkill. How many marriages try to make do with water rather than wine? Husband and wife doing the best they can to pretend it's okay that the wine has run out, smiling with clenched teeth as they drink the drink of prisoners and slaves, plain old water, water that means just surviving, water because their marriage has become hard work in thistled ground, water that means the party's over. The gladness of wine has long left 2 cold hearts. "They have no wine," Mary says. And what are they to do? If no one goes to Jesus, the poor, embarrassed couple will have no choice but to do what other couples do when the wine has run out: put on fake smiles, say the right words, and try to survive. Get through this moment, get through another year, get through until the kids go off to school, continue on in a generic marriage in which Jesus is not at work, continue on in generic lives in which Jesus is not at work. If no one goes to get Jesus, that's what's going to happen. So Mary goes to him. Mother Mary, who knows already what wonderful and impossible things her son can do. They have no wine, this man, this woman, she tells him. It's not his problem. It's not his business. It's not even his wedding. But Mother Mary, she made it his business. Mary took that problem right to Jesus, made that problem Jesus' problem. A pretty good picture of prayer. And without any positive answer from the Son, Mary turns to those servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." Without any positive answer from her son, Mary believes that what she has asked will be done. Prayer. She speaks and acts like a woman who is used to her son, her Lord, doing what she asks, or at very least, doing what's best. Prayer. And she says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Those are the last words of Mary, recorded in Scripture. And Mary's words make for pretty good marital advice, too. Do whatever he tells you. If the wine has run out, if the gladness is gone, if the love has run dry, if the groom is tired of laboring for nothing but water, and the bride has cried out all her tears like water, do whatever he tells you. Fill up those jars with water, the Lord said. And they filled them up to the brim. Fill up those jars with water. 6 huge stone jars full of water. For the bridegroom and the bride, it might as well have been 6 huge stone jars full of disappointment, full of insufficiency. 6 huge stone jars full of water, not wine. 6 huge stone jars full of everything that their marriage was lacking. Fill them up, Jesus says. For the young man who is Mary's son and Mary's Lord, can change what's in those jars. He can change disappointment into hope. He can turn sorrow into joy. He can do for this married couple what they cannot do for themselves. He can turn that water into wine. Plain old water in stone jars into the very best of wines, the best wine saved for last, the good wine kept till now. Fill them up, those jars, for what you lack, the Lord will provide. And what you pour in, he will change. If you pour in water, he pours out wine. If you pour in sin, he pours out grace. And what subtle, aromatic, rich, delicious grace he does pour out. The kind of grace and forgiveness you want to savor like a fine wine. Breathe in the delicate aromas of life and light. Let roll over your tongue this intricate love of God. Swirl it in your mouth and allow it to linger. And feel the warmth again that fills you from the inside out. Words fail. You have to drink from this cup of grace yourself to know just how good this wine really is. O man and woman, Adam and Eve, he makes empty cups runneth over. He makes empty hearts full of gladness. He is the sinner's friend. Fill them up, those jars. They are for purification. For what you lack, He will provide. And what you do not have, He will freely give. And before you know it, you'll no longer have water. You'll have something like 180 gallons of liquid joy flowing through your house. Take and drink, he says. And remember those urgent words of Mother Mary. Do whatever he says. Take and drink, he says. Take and drink, and let his forgiveness flow from this table to your own table and to those who sit around it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water, now become wine, he did not know where it had come from. And when that bridegroom and that bride put that richest of wines upon their lips, they did not know where it had come from. But it was to them nothing less than salvation. They were out of wine, and there was nothing left but shame and blame, water and a marriage bereft of good wine. But unbeknownst to them, someone had gone to Jesus for help. And the next thing they know, those empty cups did runneth over, even their own, and their empty hearts were filled with gladness that flowed from them to the guests. They did not know who had saved them, who had turned their water into wine. But the servants did know, and so did Mary. 6 huge stone jars. Fill them up, Jesus says. Confess your sins, bucket and bucket. What you have, I will change. What you lack, I will provide. For my hour has come. My wedding is at hand. I am lifted up like a bridegroom rejoicing. I am lifted up to pay my vows. I am lifted up upon the cross for you. Our marriage shall be a covenant of my blood, for I have chosen to change sinners into a holy bride. And I have chosen to change death into life. And I have chosen to turn water into wine and wine into blood, so that you might drink this richest of all wines, the blood of grapes and the blood of forgiveness. Man and woman, Adam and Eve, this is the feast, the wedding feast of our Lord. And he gives himself to his holy bride, flesh and blood, that you might be united with him forever. A marriage, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. From Adam's pierced side, God took a rib and fashioned a bride named Eve. And from Jesus' pierced side, God takes water, and he takes blood, and he fashions a bride for him, one holy bride, one holy church. And on the lips of his bride and in her mouth shall be the finest of all wines, and she will wait for her bridegroom's kiss. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise with me now as we confess together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.